Good morning.
Good morning, Sensei.
Smaller crowd than usual. I can't help but wonder how many people are victims of daylight savings time. What made me think of that was I found myself nodding during the first period. So I'm going to say a few words this morning, and the intention of these words is to encourage you to stop looking for happiness. Ken MacLeod is an author and a teacher of Tibetan Buddhism who received Dharma transmission from Kalu Rinpoche, who's a well-known Tibetan teacher. And Ken mentions in a recent book a commentary on Tibetan verses from Tokme Zangpo. And I took two lines from these verses, which sounds similar to two lines I've mentioned recently. The two lines are that the happiness of the three worlds disappears in a moment, like a dewdrop on a blade of grass. Happiness disappears in a moment. Ken MacLeod also comments in his book. He says, "The pursuit of happiness for its own sake is a fool's errand. Happiness, it seems, is a transient state depending upon many conditions. And because this is so, pain and suffering can replace happiness at any moment. If we look deeper, we realize that happiness is an emotion, a feeling, and that this emotion, this feeling, can be very intoxicating. We tend not to want to let it go. Unfortunately, clinging to happiness while avoiding pain and suffering just results in more unhappiness and more suffering. Also, most people seem to be mostly concerned with their own happiness, and much less with the happiness of others. Pursuit of happiness, at least in this culture, seems to be grounded in selfishness. If you were to ask people what they want from life most, they'll say, 'I want to be happy.' They don't say, 'What do you want most from this life?' 'Well, I'd like everybody to be happy. I'd like to do something to everybody, for everybody to be happy.' We basically pursue our own happiness. If you look at happiness, happiness is usually what we feel when we get something we have always wanted. And typically the feeling lasts for about 2 or 3 days. And then what? Then what is we are disappointed that we don't feel happy anymore. And this can happen in our practice as well. We sit diligently and begin to experience some peace from the constant chatter of our mind. Or we have an opening, and it brings tears of joy to our eyes. We get a taste of the basic oneness of life. We feel a deep connection to all around us. So far, so good. But there is a tendency to cling to these kinds of experiences and the joy and happiness they bring. It's as if we're finally arrived at heaven, a destination where ultimate happiness exists. And because we feel like we've arrived at a destination, we want to stay there. Instead of an arrival in heaven, we were forever happy, we eventually get confronted by a wake-up call. And that call is the messiness of life as it returns to our lives. Maybe someone steals our car, which creates major inconveniences. And our partner, rather than being supportive, complains about how dumb we were to leave the keys in the ignition. Wait a minute. This is not heaven. This is hell. Life turns on a dime right before our eyes. We're upset for days. This stuff isn't supposed to happen in heaven, for God's sake. For days, maybe weeks, we long to return to that place of peace and happiness. If we listen closely, pay attention to our body and mind, if we're really quiet, we can hear a voice deep in the distance, whispering, 'Nothing is permanent.'" Let's look at happiness for a moment from a cultural and societal perspective. Right? The world that we live in, the world that we're surrounded by. Bookstores, both online and at the mall, devote considerable space to books and CDs that promise to provide the path to true happiness. Infomercials clog the airways with Hollywood figures and psychologists presenting revolutionary new plans and testimonies for how to become a happy person. And the research shows that the public pays an enormous sum of money in pursuit of happiness. Corporations and companies also promote happiness. Campbell's Soup is now making our happy place anywhere we go, as long as we have one of their soups. They offer a smile with every spoonful. Isn't that lovely? Coca-Cola is now offering more than refreshment. Now you can open a can or bottle of happiness. And JetBlue has roadside billboards that now promise if you fly with them, you will be jet happy. So what should we make of all this? Should we just get depressed, throw in the towel, and die? Zen teaches us to give up pursuing any special state. Give up any special state. We are encouraged to live in the present, and with whatever that present has to offer. Bernie Glassman frequently talks about people who constantly complain about what they don't have, how they identify themselves as have-nots, as victims. He encourages people to look at their lives carefully and see what they do have, what the ingredients are right before them. And then he encourages us, like a good chef, to take these ingredients and make, as he says, the best soup. Dogen wrote, "Drifting pitifully in the whirlwind of birth and death, as if wandering in a dream, in the midst of illusion I awaken to the true path. There is one more matter I must not neglect, but I need not bother now. As I listen to the sound of the evening rain falling on the roof of my temple retreat." So what is the antidote? Is there an antidote to the pursuit of happiness? If we sit diligently, we slowly over time will cultivate equanimity. And equanimity comes from the Latin word equus, meaning balance, then animus, meaning spirit or inner state. So it means a balanced inner state, where emotions flow through us rather than getting stuck. In essence, we learn to move in harmony with the ebb and flow of life. And that's both our internal and external life. It's being in the middle of this mishigas that we call life and not getting knocked off balance, not getting caught in grasping for happiness and hiding from suffering and unhappiness. So it's not that there's no such thing as happiness, but we understand, like everything else, it's transient. Sitting, we cultivate equanimity, the ability to be fully present to each moment without expectation, so that we can respond in harmony to each moment. If it is a cause for joy or happiness, we will be joyful or happy. If it is a cause for grief or sadness, we will be sad and we will grieve. We will respond accordingly. We will not cling to one state over another, because we know through our direct experience this is what causes suffering. So, in my role as a Zen teacher, I encourage you all to stop looking for it. Thank you.